What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and in this episode, we are going to talk about the NFC. This is a Saints-related podcast, but in this case, what do we have? 2 weeks before full training camp begins. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to take a trip around the rest of the NFL to get ready for the 2022 season. We're going to find out who everyone on this show thinks will be the best and the worst in each division, and who's going to put up a fight against the Saints on their journey to their second Super Bowl title. This is the first of a two-part episode. Like I said, this week we're going to talk NFC. Next week we're going to talk AFC. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. With us today to talk about the NFC, we have Wesley and James. Welcome to the show, fellas. How are you doing this week?
I am melting.
Still, that was your final thought last week.
Here it is. Yeah, no. No, look, we broke 100 degrees in the UK today, and that's never happened before.
What is that in Celsius?
38.5.
See, that'd be nice to be 38 right now.
It's becoming very clear why they don't win golf tournaments in the spring in the United States, or why they don't win wars in the United States during the summer. They just can't handle the heat. I mean, it's they're not built for it.
The country falls apart when it gets either too hot, too cold, too windy, too wet, too much snow.
Is there such a thing in London as too much rain? Isn't that just what happens?
Well, yeah. Sometimes it goes a bit mad. But if we could have it like, I don't know, 16, 17 degrees, sunny with a few clouds and a bit of breeze all year round, that'd be perfect.
That's called San Diego. You got to move to San Diego. It's expensive, but the weather's perfect.
This segment brought to you by Tourism of San Diego. I'm going to go out jacking it in San Diego.
Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, jacking it, spanking it, smack. No, but apart from that, I'm good, thanks.
Wesley, yeah, how are you up? What are you up to, 112?
Doing good, yeah. It's been 103 to 105 every day. Here today and tomorrow is 110. Wednesday is 109. So that 10 degrees is a big difference, too.
Sure enough. All right, so let's talk about the NFC. We'll start in the South. Aside from the Saints, who are clearly going to be best in the division, who do you believe, and I think I already know the answer to this, but who's going to be the worst in the division? And which team do you think underwent the biggest change from last year to this year, whether it's a positive or a negative change?
Well, I mean,
who's less predictable?
Are we saying that the Saints couldn't have gone through the biggest change? Or are we saying other than the Saints?
Because I agree. I would think what you're saying is probably right. The Saints are definitely underwent the biggest change.
I mean, Atlanta's going from a 7-10 team that, you know, very likely could have been 8-9 or 9-8 because they had a couple of close games or games they gave away at the end, like Atlanta always does. I mean, they're right there as a 500 team. I mean, couple of plays going different ways have the same record as the Saints, and they're probably the favorite to be the number one overall pick in the draft next year. And it seems like they're angling to be the worst team in the NFL with no interest in winning. I mean, it sure seems that way. So I think they're going through the biggest change. I mean, it's going to be they're going to have a terrible, terrible team. It looks like.
Yeah. What about Carolina? I mean, is really the only major change now in their QB, Baker Mayfield, and was that really all they ever accomplished this offseason? And is that really – I'm not calling it an upgrade, but I guess it is.
But they're sat there. They spent so much money and draft picks to get rid of Teddy Bridgewater just to bring in three Teddy Bridgewaters with Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, and Matt Corral. I mean, those guys are Teddy Bridgewater. Like, it would have been a lot cheaper just to have kept Teddy in the first place. We'll see what's going on. I mean, Carolina, if healthy, no matter what, whether it's Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield, they have somewhere around average quarterback. But they do have, you know, a couple of guys like Christian McCaffrey, Chuba Hubbard, and Deontay Freeman, and then Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore that can catch the ball. So you at least have something there resembling a chance for them to score three touchdowns in a game, where I don't see that in Atlanta. Do I think Christian McCaffrey ever plays a full season in the NFL again? I just don't. I think it was a matter of times before he starts breaking down, and I don't know if he's ever.
To that end, I was going to say, what's the over under on how many games he plays? And even if he did play a full season, do you ever think he's going to be the Christian McCaffrey that everybody thinks he will be, or is he just too old and too banged up at this point? Is he damaged goods?
I mean, he's 10 games played combined the last 2 years.
Well, so if they're not banged up then, or surgically repaired and or out of practice.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he plays 10 games this year, I think they've done well.
I'll take the under on that.
But for the contract he signed with them, you know, that's a bad deal they signed with him when you look at what he's played since. I mean, I know you could say the same about Michael Thomas and us with the contract that he signed, and he's played, what, half a game since he signed that contract? if that. I think you're right about Atlanta. They are going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year by far. I think Carolina have got quite a feisty defense. I think that's going to keep them in some games. So like you were saying, Wesley, you know, average quarterback play might get them to 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah.
I think that's probably
plus they're going to win 2 against Atlanta. I mean, there's two right there. They do play Atlanta, so
yeah, true. Yeah, I think 7 games is the top for Carolina this year, but yeah, Atlanta.
Which I kind of feel like 7 games is generous for Carolina.
Well, they also have the Seahawks and Lions on their schedule. I don't know if they're going to be much better than those teams at the end of the day, but I think Seattle and Detroit are going to have some problems. There's 4 very winnable games, and you start throwing in some Pittsburghs and some stuff like that. You know, tell them what's going to happen. Well, they play the Giants too. So
lucky. Is that we're all playing the NFC East this year, are we not? I don't remember anymore. I forgot who what division we play.
We were playing the Browns division.
Okay. No, that's the AFC. Who's the NFC team we're playing? Or NFC division that we're playing?
It's the Rams and 49ers division.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So let's jump there then. Let's talk about the NFC West. And you mentioned Seattle, and it sounds like you think Seattle's going to be kind of garbage again now that they've lost Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, their hopes and dreams. I mean, they're going to have a quarterback competition of Geno Smith and Drew Lock. And it's probably going to come down to the wire for one of them to be better than the other.
That's not an ideal situation.
No.
That's your Trevor Siemian, Ian Book dilemma.
And then they've got 6 games against the Rams, Cardinals, and 49ers,
who are all poised to be first place in their division.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to come down to the end of the season like it did last year.
Yeah. Would you say this is arguably the toughest division in the NFC?
I don't think.
Or is it not arguable?
It's not arguable on that one. If you were going to say NFL, we were going to start arguing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
just no. In the. Yes, I think that's.
Well, not fair shit.
The NFC
West. Sneak peek at next week. The AFC West, I would argue, might be the strongest in the AFC, and therefore the
I think the AFC North and the AFC West, there's a conversation to have there about what's going on. That's going to be fun. But the AFC West is going to be really interesting. But yeah, teaser. Listen next week.
Right.
Yeah.
Find out the truth.
Yeah, I think it's fairly clear that the Seahawks are going to be bottom of that division. And they could, you know, they could be a 3-4 win team next year.
Ooh.
And I'll just say that the 49ers, I think there's a lot we don't know. I think it'll be hard for them to be awful. But we have no idea what Trey Lance is at all. And then you've got a couple of receivers / running back that are unhappy there. There's a lot brewing that could lead to Trey Lance starting off not that good and them starting off 0-3 or 1-4, and then some major turmoil going on with people that are already unhappy.
So if they said that Trey Lance is starting quarterback this year, because Garoppolo hasn't been traded yet, has he?
I believe they've almost said there's no way that Jimmy's even in, like, on their team for week one. They're trying
I don't believe that. I mean, they haven't traded him yet. Then
they keep teasing that other teams are interested. And in fact, the rumor last week that his agent tried to start was that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were interested in trading for him and having him follow Tom Brady again. So they're trying to do something. I don't know if he's going to want to go in there and compete with Trey Lance for the job. But at this point, I think that Trey Lance has to be their starting quarterback. They have to see what they have.
They gave up. They moved up for him last year, didn't they? They jumped up in the draft. So, you know, they must have had the vision that he was going to be the starter. So, yeah, you have to imagine that's going to be the case this year.
Now, San Francisco, they've still got Debo. They've still got George Kittle. Ayuk. They've still got a defense. So the quarterback is really the only missing link to that team. For question mark, not missing link.
For sure.
All right. Yeah. And then Arizona. I feel that, remind me, did Arizona start strong and something happened to where they fell off last year? Or why did they, or is it just a competitive division and they just didn't make the cut? Because I feel like Arizona at the beginning of last year was kind of the team to beat in the early projection.
It was injuries, wasn't it? Didn't Hopkins get injured?
That's what I'm wondering. I can't remember what it was that stopped
Hopkins was definitely injured and missed some time. He's going to miss some time this year too, I believe, with his suspension.
He is. Maybe. I think he misses the first six games, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, six.
Six or four. Can't remember. I think Kyler Murray missed some time last year, or was that the year before?
I don't believe it was last year. But Kyler's up and down where his final stats didn't necessarily look terrible, but he was all over the place as far as the way he looked in games and if he looks like he's a decent quarterback or not.
I'm not sure.
Something tells me he got hurt or something because he was on my fantasy team and I was started strong and then
he played 14 games last year, so he missed a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, surprisingly, he had a 69.2% completion percentage last year.
Maybe that's what it was. He lost me in the playoffs. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Nobody cares about your fantasy team, Jeff. So, all right, NFC North. So
we didn't even talk about the Rams.
We didn't even talk about Tampa Bay either.
We went that route of most changes.
Okay, cool.
For the NFC South, and then we didn't follow suit for the West. So, all right, real quick, back to the West. Rams.
The Rams did win the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, they're probably still the tier one team in the NFC. You know, one of the three tier one teams, I would say, in the NFC.
Is it still just, I mean, I realize he was playing with a terrible Detroit team, but Matt Stafford can still, at any point in the game, throw the ball to the other team in a wild way. Like he's
He did in the Super Bowl, didn't he? Just after halftime. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just hard when, like, that's, I mean, really what your hopes and dreams are sitting on.
I mean, the Rams are going big over the next couple of years, aren't they? Because they've literally got no first round draft picks until, is it 2027?
Something crazy.
2026, 2027. And they've got Aaron Donald on a $30 million a year contract. I mean, I know the cap's going to go up and the cap's going to keep going up and stuff like that, but that's a big chunk of salary cap on one player. You know, that's going to, I mean, I know, you know, I shouldn't really say that as a Saints fan. That's going to come home to roost at some point.
But even a guy who said, like, if I win the Super Bowl, I'm going to retire. Like, how, I mean, he's now motivated because he got given $30 million a year, but like the rumor was he was going to retire if he didn't get some huge amount. So is he actually motivated to play football? And believe me, Aaron Donald's great, one of the best defensive players that I've ever seen. But is he's great because of that motivation and internal, you know, drive that he has. He's not the biggest guy or any of that. So is some of that gone? And that leaves a pretty big hole in them if he's not the Aaron Donald of old now that he's very, very, very rich.
Yeah, that's got to be a bit of a fear for them that he is going to down tools a little bit. But even him at 70% is probably still better than 95% of the defensive linemen in the NFL.
Do you think Cooper Kupp is going to be as good, or did Cooper Kupp benefit from? Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
I mean, but is he going to repeat? Because a couple of years ago, he had a good season that then
he got his knee injury.
Not necessarily follow up on. And was that what it was? Was it a knee injury? That
well, I think he did.
Allen Robinson has been one of the best receivers in football for a long time, playing with Mitch Trubisky. And Allen Robinson is on the Rams now. And you've got to decide between him and Kupp. And I mean, Kupp has been unstoppable, even if you were trying to double him. But they got better as far as their receiving crew in the offseason.
They did. There's one thing I will say about,
I mean, it's pretty rumored that OBJ, when he gets back, that's probably where he's going, is going back there.
And it's kind of like they're the second best receiver core in the NFL, right? And coming into the year.
Yeah.
So the Rams are, like I said, the Rams are still a tier one team, and in an era where usually your Super Bowl team gets picked apart, right? They didn't.
So yeah, I still think the NFC, the road to the NFC title is going to go through LA this year.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think that's a bold prediction, so to speak.
Well, there's another route that goes to the NFC North, Jeff.
Well, Chicago.
Not Chicago.
So, all right, so there's a good segue then. A lot of people are thinking that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are going to suck this year because Aaron Rodgers lost his favorite receiver, and somehow he's not going to be able to recover from that. Do you believe that, or do you think Aaron Rodgers is like a Drew Brees, where it kind of doesn't matter who his receivers are going to be? He's going to be competitive, and the team will always have a chance because he's their quarterback.
Yeah, I think there's, just like there was, you know, a couple of quarterbacks that could have made Willie Snead really good. I think there's only a couple of quarterbacks that would make Alan Lazard good or Marquez Valdez-Scantling good. I don't think those guys are tier one receivers. And this year, I mean, he's got a lot of that he's going to work with. He's got some young guys with some speed, and we'll see if they have hands, but then he's got the old veteran in Randall Cobb. I think that he's going to be just fine with his arm and game management and what he does. And these receivers are not going to want to be yelled at on national TV and embarrassed by him screaming at them or throwing something at them. So I think that his receiving crew will be just fine. Having said that, I do believe Davante Adams is fantastic and is as good as any receiver in the game in years. And so there's obviously a hole there. I think that with the division he's playing in, he's going to be just fine. Unfortunately. Is this the year that Jordan Love beats him out for the starting job, takes over, starts his legacy? No.
No.
I'll give you a hint. The answer is no.
Well, and let's not forget, they do have another quarterback in their quarterback room, and he goes by the name of Danny Etling, and he went to LSU. So,
yeah.
There's a...
Maybe he's going to beat Aaron Rodgers out.
Maybe.
Yeah. You guys.
I mean, look, but the Vikings are the only team in that division who could even get close to them this year, I think. But I don't think they will.
I mean, if they do that, then Dalvin Cook is the MVP of all MVPs. I mean, he's going to set some sort of insane record. And obviously you got Justin Jefferson, but I don't know if they have the other tools around them to take the biggest advantage of Cook and Jefferson.
No, Thielen's not what he was a couple of years ago, is he?
No.
And I guess there's not really much point talking about Chicago and Detroit.
I mean, other than if you just want to laugh.
I mean, they are going to, the Bears are going to stick with Justin Fields. They do have a new backup quarterback by the name of Trevor Siemian. Not sure if you guys are familiar with him.
Is Ryan Pace still the GM over there?
He must be. I don't know how he hasn't gotten fired, but he's still recycling people.
Right? I mean, like, that's his entire strategy.
Surprised he didn't take. I mean, Chase Daniel's been at the Bears before, hasn't he? I think Chase Daniel's definitely been at the Bears before.
For sure. So we'll see. But they're going to be hot garbage.
Yeah.
I would really like to see just for Dan Campbell, the Lions, to actually finish second in their division, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if they could win a few games. That would be great. I'm not sure. Looking,
they haven't given you any reason to feel like they're going to decline, have they?
I mean, they won three games last year. I'm not sure how far they can decline, you know, right. But okay. So they're the ones that when we were talking at the start of last year about how bad our receiving crew was, and I was like, the one team that was possibly had a worse receiving core was the Detroit Lions. And like their big off season move was signing DJ Chark. So their receiving crew is still pretty bad. I mean, they got a few young guys. They do have, I got Josh Reynolds, but they've got a pretty awful receiving crew that Jared Goff will have to throw to.
Yeah, they've got, who was the rookie they had last year? St. Brown.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
That's it. Yeah, him. Yeah, he was okay.
The East, you got your Dallas Cowboys, your Philadelphia Eagles, your Washington Commanders. Who's, like, my question here is, are the Washington Commanders going to be the team to beat? Have they finally put their stuff together and gotten past all the scandal?
No.
All right.
Next question. I mean, I think the Eagles could possibly get into a position where they annoy the Cowboys or make them have to win games to win the division. I do not think that I think Dallas is going to win games because they play in this division. And then I believe they also play the Jaguars and Lions outside of the division. So they get, but I don't think the Cowboys are going to be very good either.
I think the Eagles are going to win that division.
That would be great.
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot of people that are talking the Eagles up of having one of the potentially one of the better rosters in the NFC this year. Now, I don't necessarily believe that, but I definitely think the Eagles are going to win that division.
They did do. I think somebody was telling me the other day that, you know, if you really start to look at who they have and what they put together in the offseason, that they are going to be a difficult team to beat.
I think their offense is going to struggle. I'm sorry. I'm not sold on Jalen Hurts or Gardner Minshew at all.
No.
As far as running backs, they do have Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell. They're a team that I wouldn't be surprised if they move a running back. They're pretty running back heavy, but still they got AJ Brown, but after AJ Brown, they're not really great in their wide receiver room. Devontae Smith has looked like he's going to be okay, but Jalen Reagor's been a bust. I'm just not sure how much I believe in him. I think they play a pretty easy schedule, and they finally have turned around their cornerbacks and their defense a little bit.
The annoying thing is they've had our number for the last 2 years, haven't they? They're the only team that have been able to run on us in the last.
But isn't that the style of offense versus
4 years?
Isn't it that's their style of offense versus our style of defense? Their offense is just built. That's kind of one of the more difficult styles of offense for whatever the defense Dennis Allen was running at the time. Like running quarterback was kind of a difficult for the Saints defense to cover.
Maybe that was the influence that Sean Payton had on the defense. Now that he's gone, those holes will be filled.
Like Sean Payton had any influence on the defense.
So I mean, there was a lot of things. That was just a weird one-off game too, where we were prepared for a different quarterback that does not run. Jalen Hurts gets thrown in there on his first start ever, and we don't do well against people in their first start ever.
So I think weren't we on the receiving end of RG3 in his first regular season game?
I was at that game.
Yeah,
it was the season opener.
It was a season opener, wasn't it? Yeah.
I left that game going, hey, that guy's a pretty good quarterback, but he's not going to have a long NFL career. Cause he, even by us, like he would run to the sideline and then stay in bounds and just get murdered and crushed on the sideline. Every time he wouldn't just go out of bounds. I was like, he's got to stop that.
And now look at him. He's out there predicting good things for the Saints. Who will win each division? I think we kind of brushed on a few here and there. Let's make it final. So besides the Saints are going to win the South. Who's going to win the North?
Green Bay.
Who's going to win the West?
LA.
The Rams.
Who's going to win the East?
I'm going Eagles. Dallas. It sounds like he's going Eagles.
Eagles, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Eagles or Commanders. That's where I'm going.
Where's this?
Yeah, where's the Commander love?
Surely not Carson Wentz.
Tell me why Carson Wentz deserves the hate. He's like Nickelback. Everybody hates him, but nobody knows why. What has
he's
he
had
done?
He's had one good year.
Statistically, he's better than all the other quarterbacks in his division.
He's had one good year. He had a really good, it was with the Colts last year, wasn't he? He had a really good Colts team.
Yeah. And he was also good while he was with the Eagles when he wasn't hurt.
1 year.
Well, okay. So he hasn't, been bad. He got hurt for a year.
So he got the team into the playoffs, got injured, and then Nick Foles came in and took the team.
Credit for all of his accomplishments.
But does that not tell you that the team was good and the quarterback didn't really matter?
Okay, so what about Washington says that they're not a good team, that the players can't handle it? I mean, tell me why. Like, they have good receivers. They got Terry.
They've got their record last year. What was Washington's record last year?
7-10?
7-10. I'm not sure they've improved that much where I would be confident that they're going to challenge for that division.
Okay. And maybe they won't. Maybe they'll do like they always do and come on strong in the beginning and then fade off, you know.
Now, having said that, just looking at this, the way if they are competitive in their division, they start off the season Jaguars, Lions, Eagles, Cowboys. So if they're good in their division, there's two wins. Then Titans, Bears. I mean, they do start off with six, like, games that I would like to start my season with.
If the Saints had that start, I'd be thinking 6-0.
Yeah. Yeah.
See?
But and maybe that's command, maybe that's what the it Washington is. Aren't the
they
Saints.
Just look better because they get to play against the NFC East.
It's been going on there for a while.
Yeah, I just realized it.
Yeah.
All right. So then, who's going to be the worst in the NFC South? Falcons.
The Falcons.
Yeah.
The Falcons.
Who's going to be the worst in the East?
The Giants.
The Giants.
And who's going to be worst in the West?
The
Seattle.
Okay. And in the North.
And the Bears. Chicago. I'm going Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going Chicago.
I think Detroit leapfrogs them.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know why I believe that. I just don't want
to. It's you're thinking with your heart. It's okay. All right. So that's there. And then we did talk a little bit biggest change in the South. So which team had the biggest change in the North?
I mean, Green Bay losing Davante Adams is what just kind of sticks out as, I mean, I'm not sure if the other three teams did anything big enough to it's, you know, a big deal that they gained.
New coach in Minnesota? Is there a new coach in Minnesota?
Why would they do that?
For some reason, I think they've got, or was that last year they had the new coach? I can't remember.
No clue. Don't want to lie.
I don't know.
Yeah. No. No, the Packers losing Adams. Yeah, definitely.
All right. I think let's get some, any other thoughts y'all have on the NFC that you wanted to bring up that you, we didn't cover?
I mean, I do think Tampa Bay is going to have a decent team this year and that them and the Saints will be competitive in the NFC South. But sure. I think just blowing them off. I will say I was enjoyed the news today that Leonard Fournette showed up weighing 260 pounds after signing his 3-year contract. My theory is that he's been watching Ironhead Hayward highlights all off season, and he's decided he's going to be a bigger Ironhead Hayward. But hey, if Fournette's showing up at 260 pounds, one, that's not good on his bad knees and all the other injuries he's had and things he's dealt with. I don't see him. I mean, whatever he does in the next few months to get into shape, if he does, I don't see him making it through the season after having that kind of off season. That's pretty rough for him.
What's his, you think, is he just like a Zion? He just likes to eat and he's good. And he just thinks that's, he'll be able to play. Like, what's his deal? Cause didn't he have problems in Jacksonville? Similar.
What would his playing weight be normally? What would he be normally? 225?
I think 220 was what would be his best playing weight.
Yeah.
He was really in shape and all, but I guess the ESPN has him listed at 228. But right. I think the last time we saw him it was a slimmer version of him, but maybe 228. But I mean, let's just say this. If he gained 32 pounds in the offseason, I don't think that any of the 32 pounds is muscle.
No.
you think definitely so, doctor, not. In the words of Jason.
It's not that I think that that's, you know, Well, on the way to adding this 10 pounds of muscle and now being 238, I also put on some of this unhealthy weight that I will cut and then just be a chiseled 238. I don't think that's the diet plan and workout plan he went with to gain 32 pounds.
No, he wants to be a fullback.
Yeah, the pictures that came with that story didn't look good.
Well, yeah, he will not be following Antonio Brown and taking his jersey off as he leaves the field. He'd be too embarrassed. So he'll be keeping that covered.
All right, y'all. What else y'all got? Anything else for the
Are we taking that any further NFC? With I guess if the winners there's who's going to the
wild
the
cards?
Playoffs and
oh, all. You want to predict the playoffs then? So okay, you got the Rams, the Saints. You said
Green Bay.
With the, we all agreed Green Bay. Yeah, Rams, Saints, Green Bay. So you got four more teams. And then there's a debate between the Eagles and Dallas. Do you believe that one of them will be a wild card? So that way, if you both disagree,
hang on. Is it three wild card teams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seven and a.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. In that case, yeah.
So yeah, one of them, the other. You know, Tampa Bay will be there.
Tampa,
and then Arizona.
You say Arizona
over San Francisco.
I say San Fran.
Yeah, I say Arizona. Sure. Yeah.
All right. So Rams, Saints, Green Bay, Eagles, Dallas, Tampa. We all agree, and then we differ between San Francisco and Arizona.
And I'll just say, just for the
number one seed, Rams.
I'm going to give it to the Rams for the number one seed rather than getting into they've earned that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean. As much as I don't like them, I respect what they've got going.
I mean, I think the good news is there is the Saints finish with a two seed. The Rams are a team that can be really good all year and then lose their first home playoff game and then give the Saints home field advantage. I mean, they are a team that can go do that. We watched them lose to the 49ers at the end of last season when they were definitely trying to win that game.
Yeah, that's true. So you think the Saints could be the two seed, yeah?
I think that whoever comes out of the NFC South, I mean, if one team asserts themselves, yeah, that should be your number two seed. Yeah. Yes, I do believe it'll be the
Rams, Saints. Saints. Yeah, so you got two out of the South. You got the Green Bay out of the North. You got two out of the – oh, no, you got three. I'm sorry. I'm thinking the Rams back in the day. Okay. So you got the Rams and San Fran. So two from the West, two from the South.
The thing is if Dallas or Philly falls off, let's say Dallas or Philly is not good this year, whichever one of them is good is going to win a ton of games this season.
Yeah. But, and I said your Dallas Eagles and Minnesota are going to, I think that two of those three are going to get in.
If Dallas is bad, the Eagles could win 14 games just because they're playing terrible teams all season. Same thing as if Philly falls off and is terrible, Dallas can turn around and win 13 or 14 games and still not be very good. They could win a ton of games just because they're playing horrible. They have an easy schedule. So we need those to be competitive with each other and split games and lose to each other so that we can, hopefully get a two or three seed.
All right. Final thoughts.
Training camp starts tomorrow for rookies.
Yeah.
Excited to see what we start hearing about that. It'll probably be a couple of days. I don't think the media is there for a couple of days. And then fans go a couple days after that, but be excited to see what we start hearing about Trevor Penning and Chris Olave and Alante Taylor and seeing what those guys are doing. I think that we've got a couple of rookies with the running back, Abram Smith, the Lucas Kroll, and then a couple of these receivers that are probably very potentially going to put up some crazy highlights and crazy numbers throughout training camp in the preseason. And get everybody all excited about them, and then we're never going to hear their names ever again because they're not going to make the roster, just kind of normal. But this one looks like it's really primed to probably see some crazy highlights and people streaking down the field with 70-yard touchdowns all through training camp, and then that be also the end of their highlights of their career.
Yeah, training camp darlings, yeah. I think for me it was cool to see the videos from the receivers and Jameis Winston and their training over the weekend. They were all there apart from Michael Thomas. I mean, Jarvis Landry was there at one point. Chris Olave was there. Traquan Smith, Marcus Callaway. you know, it was really good to see them all together. I think even Teddy Bridgewater was there at one point. I think,
yes,
I saw Teddy Bridgewater there. Was Andy Dalton there? Can't remember if I saw Andy Dalton there.
I don't remember anybody talking about it.
But it was really good to see, you know, them all show up. And I'm assuming that would be something that Jameis Winston organized himself as the QB, I would imagine. And it's just good to see that, you know, even the undrafted guys and the guys who probably aren't going to make the roster were there. I mean, Lucas Kroll was there. Troutman was there. Really trying to get on the same page with Jameis, and bodes well for this season.
Well, and those guys were sweating and breathing hard. Like, I mean, they weren't in an indoor air-conditioned facility, which, I mean, he could have put his money into that and been in something really nice. And they were out there working and working hard, and you could tell they were worn the heck out. And it was also cool hearing him talk. Like, I mean, he is being a leader and not only talking about, like, he is talking about winning the season. He's talking about the Saints. He's talking about New Orleans. He even, like, referenced Teddy when talking about, and you used to be with the Saints. But, I mean, he's talking about bringing them together as a family and picking each other up and supporting each other. And, I mean, he's just saying the right things. It's sometimes tough to remember that I believe he just turned 27. So he's still quite a young man that, yeah, a couple of years ago was, you know, being a knucklehead, but I mean, who wasn't at that age? It's pretty cool to see how quickly he's matured in a couple of years, and what he's doing now.
Yep.
I think he's a great next QB for the Saints. And I'm glad that even though we wanted Deshaun Watson at the time, I'm glad that didn't happen overall.
I think we all are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also not just for the obvious reasons, but, I think for the fact that Jameis is a great QB to have and as a leader. So,
and who would have thought we'd have been saying that 3 years ago?
No, when he was eating W's. Speaking of, there seems to be a bit of a desire for certain people to bring that back. Wesley, I know you're not a fan of that.
A fan of what?
Of bringing back eating W's.
No, not into that at all. I did like to see, did y'all see him throwing into the basket and all, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's doing that from 45 yards out. And then I was joking with somebody and said, well, when did we get the video of him doing it from 7 yards away? And they posted a video of him doing it from 7 yards away. I'm like, cool, I'm happy. I'm
good. You got in a good way. Right? That's cool. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on Facebook by searching Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on TikTok at Dome Patrol Prods with a Z. And then if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, because you can't find us on your podcast app, which is Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, you can go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, rookie training cap donkeys. Good night, Houdat Nation.